Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
On the Paracast this week, a little bit later, in just a few minutes, we'll be welcoming back longtime UFO investigator Timothy Good, who first appeared in the Paracast probably about 6 years ago. So we're happy to have him back, but first we wanted to talk about a couple of things, Chris and I. And first, of course, is the reaction to the appearance of David Roundtree on the Paracast. Chris, I've never seen it so polarized.
It's pretty amazing. We bring the best quality guests we possibly can to the show. And, of course, David, I think, ruffled a few feathers with his very direct way of presenting himself and his work. And I think he may have also ruffled the feathers of some scientists that we have that listen to the show.
What do you think of the areas that concerned you, if anything, about his presentation?
Well, I liked it, Gene. I think it's kind of a refreshing approach away from, you know, in the realm of the paranormal, away from skulking around houses at night looking for ghosts. I found his attitude about what he does, it was quite refreshing. However, I do have some problems with, I think, some of his concepts. I think his whole idea of this this whole wormhole idea, I think, needs to be fleshed out and explained a lot better. I did not get it. But he does seem to know his science. It would have been nice to get more of a background, more background information from him about his education, etc. But I think all in all, he represents kind of a new wave of more of a high-tech approach to haunted sites, if you will, and portal area activity. And I look forward to hearing about his progress.
Well, I think people are always concerned about the basics there, why he doesn't reveal anything about his education, but there are things you can infer because of the fact that if you look on Facebook where he says his education is private, he obviously went to school in Florida.
Well, he did let slip the gators as a clue there, so that should give some of you inquiring paracasters a little hint. Sounds like he went to Florida.
Okay, so now, of course, if he's going anywhere, it's in New Jersey.
Right.
I don't see why he doesn't mention it, though. I mean, people are so concerned about one's qualifications. Not that necessarily makes you better able to evaluate this stuff, but because of some instances where people were kind of fooled, led to believe somebody knew more than they knew because of their education, this is an important reason why this comes up over and over again.
Yeah, well, you know, we all have rationales for stating certain things about ourselves. Some people like to keep it a little bit more quiet and private. That's his right. I don't think that it serves his credibility as well as it would if he would divulge, publicly his education. The same with his research buddy, Thomas Fusco, same thing. So, I don't personally have a problem sitting behind the fact that I went to the university for 5 years and didn't even bother to really declare a major or anything. I just went to attend classes. I'm perfectly okay with saying that, but some people have an issue around it in this realm, and that's their right.
I think we kind of hope, though, that understanding the situation, they would be more forthcoming. I understand he has a right to his privacy, David Roundtree. But I can't see that revealing his educational background is going to hurt him somehow.
Well, I think he was more concerned with his alma mater. I think he said he didn't want to bring any undue attention to them, going on the assumption that they might be getting some flack because of his choice of hobbies.
I don't see that.
I know.
I don't see why.
I know.
I mean, a lot of people have been involved in UFO research, and they went to normal places. And they didn't have anything to live down. I mean, Jim Moseley went to, Princeton? He didn't graduate, but he went there. And I don't recall Princeton saying, please don't mention us.
Right. Well, Alfred Weber went to Yale. See what good it did him.
Right. And I haven't heard that Yale has officially released an edict saying it is not our policy to ever mention his name in connection with Yale.
No. Well, look what happened to John Mack. I mean, there have been examples of people, some more high profile than others, that have run into problems with educational institutions, especially if they were associated with them directly. So, but still, I don't see why David Roundtree and Thomas Fisco just can't tell us, hey, this is the level of my education, this is what I studied, you know, I'm proud of it, make of it what you will, but, you know, put your cards on the table. I don't think there's a problem with that.
Let's move over to our guest, Tim Good.
Thank you.
Mr. Good, welcome back to the Paracast.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so you hear us talking about educational background. So
yeah.
We're going to ask you, you basically studied music.
Well, I suppose you could call it the university, but I got a scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music, where I spent 4 years, and that was after my final schooling at what we call a public school. And, gosh, that's way back. But 4 years I was at the Royal Academy of Music in London. So that will be the equivalent of a university in your estimation, though quite different from, say, Oxford or Cambridge in that it specialized in music.
Now, of course, you've also worked as a session musician for a number of famous artists.
I did indeed, yes. I had 20 years in the session scene, and I don't regret any of it. It was great fun, and it was also very well paid, unlike classical music. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself, and I had the great pleasure of playing with some of the great artists of the time. So it was great. It was great fun.
And just to mention a couple of names like Phil Collins, U2, Rod Stewart,
yep.
Paul McCartney, George Harrison. Wow.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Yeah, what a list. My goodness.
You know, some backing for some of their albums, those guys' albums.
Wow. I'd love to be a fly on the wall in a few of those sessions. Oof. Boy. So what's it like working with Rod Stewart? Is he as gorgeous in person back there in the 70s?
I never actually chatted to him. We I think there was only one that I backed him on, and that was with quite a few session musicians in Wembley, which is a part of London, where there are several studios, and he did a pre-record there. And it was great fun. I can't offhand remember the name of the title of the song that we did, but it was good fun. And I reckon I played on another occasion with him as well. But I certainly worked with Paul McCartney on several occasions. On one occasion, a small group of us went down to his windmill home on the south coast of Suffolk, and it was a great experience.
What fun.
We spent, you know, most of the day there, and Linda was alive at that time, and she got tea and cakes and stuff, and McCartney was wonderful, and it was...
I delivered pizza to him once.
I beg your pardon?
I delivered pizza to him once.
Oh, well, gosh. Good for you.
At the Waldorf in New York, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, boy, I tell you, that's quite a scene to be involved with. And, you know, being a fellow musician of sorts, not obviously your caliber, but it's always fun to see how the professionals produce music, arrange it, and actually get, you know, capable tracks. It's a lot more involved and a lot more difficult than most people, I think, would imagine. And, to be in that rarefied realm, you really have to know your stuff.
Yeah.
Speaking of knowing stuff, we're going to talk more with Timothy Good about his UFO research, not where he played his violin. Although that's fascinating, and I bet he's got stories that we can do another show if we did a music show. And Chris Good as a musician as well. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Do you know how much the dollar has lost in its value against other currencies in the last 90 days? Ever think about how inflation will change your life, your savings, your retirement plans? Remember inflation in Zimbabwe, Argentina, the Weimar Republic? Put another way, who cares if your investments go up 10%, but you lose 40% of your purchasing power? Gold is the only monetary asset as no one else's liability. Gold still buys the same amount of stuff it always did. Gold does not require trust in a third party. You can possess it in your hand. You can take it with you. Gold is real money. Gold is honest money. My name is Daniel Larson from Midas Resources. To find out how you can protect your savings and roll over your IRA funds into precious metals accounts, please call me at 800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. 800-686-2237, extension 134.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
These days, so many suffer from heartburn, stomach ulcers, and acid reflux, and most never realize it is the high acidity within the body that causes their discomfort. While selective diet choices can help, AlkaVision Plasma pH drops can really make a change. A few drops added to water can optimize your body's pH level, ridding you of harmful waste and acid, promoting health, and restoring vibrance and energy. Healthy pH levels make all the difference. High acidity can also cause depression, insomnia, and irritability. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops bring you vital balance that can be truly life-changing. Alkalizing boosts immune response, reduces headaches and cramping, and even helps prevent bone loss. This is simple science that helps your body do what's natural. Order your AlkaVision pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, A-L-K-A-Vision.com, or call 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
On the Paracast with Gene and Chris, we're joined by Timothy Good, who is a violinist by profession and a UFO researcher. That's your hobby, UFO researcher, right?
Well, no. I'd say it's also my profession because I lecture on the subject throughout the United Kingdom. Mostly to what we used to call public schools, but are now called independent schools, to the sixth form, which is the top form. I'm still doing that, and I thoroughly enjoy it, and I lecture elsewhere at conferences sometimes. Sometimes I'll be at the Phoenix conference in February. I think it's something like the 12th to the 16th of February. I'm just flying out. I'm being flown out for 5 days in total. So I'm looking forward to that, and I gather it's a very good conference they do out there.
Yeah, and we're in the area, and we'll probably get a chance to see you there.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Gene's down there just outside of town, and I'm up towards Sedona.
Great.
And Chris is going to pay for the lunch.
There you go. Lunch is on me.
Okay, I take that as a solid commitment.
They do put on a good conference. It should be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing you again. The last time we saw each other, Tim, actually was in 2004 at the X Conference. I tried to introduce you to Ray Stanford, and you turned on your heel and you ran from me.
What?
He did. You said he raised Stanford.
Are you serious?
Away.
All right, let me get back here because I'm obviously confused over this. This is some kind of inside baseball conversation.
No.
Okay. Why would Ray Stanford bring apart that reaction?
I don't know. I was hoping to get a little bit more insight.
It's more news to me. There were two brothers, weren't there? Rex and Ray.
Rex and Ray, correct.
Who
Rex
both was, had encounter experiences, as I recall.
Many years
back. I mean, we're talking decades ago, you know. So
60 years ago.
And I cannot certainly remember my own encounter with one of the Stanford guys.
Yeah, I introduced you to him. He lived just a couple of towns south of Gaithersburg where the X Conference was being held. And I think you had somewhere to go, obviously, because you sure left in a hurry. the time before that, Tim, you and I flew around the San Luis Valley with John Altshuler piloting his plane.
Oh,
and way back, this is going back 20 years ago.
Pardon me? I remember that very well, yes.
Yeah, that was quite something. And you supplied some photographs for my second book, Enter the Valley, from some of the pictures that you took, the great shots of the sand dunes and the big Blanca Mountain there. But boy, I'll tell you, that was probably one of the most scary flights I've ever taken. When he had four radios and they all went silent.
They all blacked out when we approached the airport.
Exactly, right over the Dry Creeks area where magnetic anomalies have been known to happen. That was quite something. That was a thrilling moment
John
when that control tower
John handled that really well. He was a fine pilot and
very good pilot.
I respected him tremendously.
Yeah, well, that was the last time he ever set foot in the San Luis Valley. he swore he'd never ever come back, and he didn't.
Yeah, as I recall, he was one of the first, if not the first, to investigate the case of Snippy. Am I right? Which
that is correct. He was the mystery pathologist that did the examination.
Valley,
of the apple. Yep.
And he showed me at his home dozens of slides. I'm not talking about film slides. I'm talking about glass slides with samples from mutilations. He had. I think he must have had hundreds, if not thousands, of different slides.
He did.
He
did.
Brought up on the microscope for me, which I found absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, it was really sad when we lost him. He died in a bicycle accident on
It was a bicycle accident. It was it was tragic. It was it was a shame. I think he got knocked off the road or something. I'm not sure of the details now at this long.
I think he got hit by a truck.
Was it by a truck? God.
Yeah. Kind of John Mack style, except on the other side of the world.
Yeah.
I always wondered if the truck that hit John Mack was a Mack, but I probably shouldn't go there.
Well, folks, let's now go dark and dirty and deep into your UFO studies. What got you interested first, Tim Good? And I want to start this because a lot of our listeners now weren't here with our show back in 2007. So let's
right, and they won't have been alive when I first became interested in UFOs.
Unfortunately, you and I were both alive, but that's another story.
This was 1955.
Oh, my.
And I was at school, and a cousin from America, a cousin of my mother's called Edmund C. Berkeley, he was the guy who actually was the first to produce a magazine on, it was called Computers and Automation in the 1940s. He was considered a nutcase, but he was well ahead of the game to do with computers. He told me things that computers would be able to do, talking decades ahead, and it's all come true. But he came around, he stayed with us, he was a second cousin of my mother, and he was well aware of my passion for aviation and space travel. And he said, Timothy, you like airplanes, you like rocket ships, you need to know about flying saucers. And so he got me a book, The Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe, and mailed it to me, and I haven't looked back since then, 1955.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. That sounds like the book I read. Well, that's the first book I read. But my story is interesting because my late brother left a copy on his coffee table in his home in Brooklyn, New York.
Right.
And I was really young. I was 11 years old at the time. So I won't reveal the real age. It's something less than 115 right now. Maybe I just feel that way. And I read that book, as you did.
Yeah.
And I was hooked. I said, I got to follow up on this. And as I got older, I started running to the bookstores because it was safe then to take a subway in New York City and go from Brooklyn to Manhattan. And they had used bookstores where I buy used or close out UFO books. And that's how I cut my teeth on the subject.
Hmm. Yeah, well, I've God knows how many books I've got now, but it's a huge amount. I don't have all the books. There's no point in just buying the books for the sake of it, you know, unless there's something specific that interests you. It's not worth getting books, and there's so much rehashing of stuff. No, it's a great subject, and of course, as most of your listeners and yourselves will be aware, it is actually, I have been told by people who are in very high positions of knowledge, that it is the most sensitive subject in the intelligence community. Furthermore, it represents a very great threat to planet Earth. Perhaps we can talk about that a little later.
Well, you're already raising the subject, but I want to ask you something first, because our listeners are always concerned about the facts behind a claim. Mm-hmm. These high sources, intelligence sources, what? I assume when you don't mention them that you're being asked to keep their name secret?
Oh, absolutely. It goes without saying.
Okay, so the obvious question people are going to ask, and we can get some skeptical people on our forums, is, all right, he says he's got these sources. Mm-hmm. How do we know that? How do we demonstrate that these sources are real? And if they are real, they're telling Tim Good the truth. We'll find out more. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
If you want to get your website online and you need reliable service, first-class service at the lowest possible price, there's only one place to go. Well, DreamHost has a special promotion with our show where they'll offer you unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click web apps such as WordPress, 24/7 support. You can save over $55. You want to know how? Go to DreamHost.com/radio. DreamHost.com/radio.
First game Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
According to the FBI, close to 400,000 burglaries take place in the United States between November and December each year. Seems burglars shop for the holidays too, for easy targets. Here are a few things that you can do to lower the risk of a break-in. Lock doors and windows. Don't have newspapers and mail accumulate in front of your house. Don't announce your travel plans on social media. And plug in fake TV. Burglars love the dark. Fake TV is a bit like a light on a timer, but more convincing. Plugs into any outlet and simulates the colors and movement of a real TV. Burglars will see light and movement and likely move on to easier targets. Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift. Or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays or anytime. So before you leave your house looking like an empty, easy target, order Fake TV today. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
My name's Bruno. I'm 52 years old. I've tried different protein powders over the years, and they've all tasted pretty bad. I tried One World Whey and found it to be delicious. After 10 weeks on One World Whey, my wife commented, "You have more muscles and you're leaner than when you were 20 years old. My body has changed dramatically." I'm a cyclist. Normally, I'll ride 2 days on and take 2 days off. After being on One World Whey, I rode 10 days in a row in over 100-degree heat, and then I'd take another 2 servings of One World Whey, and then work out at the gym for another hour and a half. I just couldn't believe these results. My normal muscle tightness and soreness after working out are virtually gone. Don't take my word for it. One World Whey comes in single servings. Just give it a try.
For a health and taste sensation you'll love, call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
Timothy Good joining us. He's written a number of books, such as Above Top Secret and the later version Beyond Top Secret. And he's coming out with another book on UFOs. He hasn't given up on it. So you got the sense, Tim, of the question I asked here. The skeptic's point of view, saying, well, you've got these sources. How do we know they are what you say they are?
Well, obviously, I can't go beyond what I've told you, which is that I've come to know these people few and far between, though they are over a very, very long period of time. And most of the few of them, there's just a handful, give me information, have given me a great deal of information over decades, and in some other countries as well, I have a few contacts.
Okay, about these contacts, ever get the feeling that maybe some of them are giving you a little bit of disinformation? Do you know that what you're hearing from them is reliable?
I get that impression, and that only arises from the fact that I've had long friendships with these people. I mean, I'm talking about decades with some of them, at any rate. Some of them I've known for 30, 40 years, and I only ever get an occasional amount of information and occasional updates. A lot of the information remains out of date, that's for sure. Like a Washington-based aerospace journalist, he's still alive, become a dear friend, and he gave me a lot of information about what was going on, and a lot of it is quite disturbing, actually.
All right, disturbing in what way?
Well, what I've been told is that there is a tremendous threat posed to Earth, and this has been going on for decades, since the 1940s, allegedly. This is what I have been told. Some of the so-called greys, there are different species of greys, as I'm sure you're aware, have hunkered down in underground bases on planet Earth, and their objective is to take over the planet. They have a 100-year plan, supposedly. Very cynical about all this, as you can read from the final chapter in my book where I reference this. So this is what I've been told. That
let's just set this apart, Tim. Okay. First of all, which book was this?
This is my latest book, Earth and Alien Enterprise.
Okay, so this one is going to tell us the final chapter of your new book.
Yes.
And you're telling us here that, number one, there are several species of grays. And how
there
do we know this?
Well, all I can tell you is what I have been told from my source, from my Washington source. And I've learned a tremendous amount of information about this thing. Allegedly, they have a long-term plan to create a race of alien-human hybrids, purportedly, they allege, to make us more peaceful. Their true purpose, that I've been told, however, is to create a passive human race incapable of violence by eradicating the human emotions that enable us to survive, thus laying us out to conquest. However, as I've pointed out, if this has been a long-term stratagem, I've yet to see much evidence of the human race becoming less violent. And in any event, these particular aliens who are trying to take over the planet in an alleged 100-year plan, supposedly, are not omnipotent. And to a certain extent, they feared us. And they do have weaponry, I'm told. But some of them had been killed by our military. A number of their bases, strangely, were guarded by elements of the United States military. And the whole object was allegedly classified under something called Project Aquarius. Aquarius has cropped up in other documents as well, as I'm sure you're aware. But a great deal of information. And not everybody, even theater commanders in chief, were out of the loop, I have been told. But those in the loop were said to have included, I'm going way back here, several decades, to include the president, though not always, the secretary of defense, the director of central intelligence, and the chairman of the joint chiefs of staff. And dossiers on potential, in the event of leaks, dossiers on potential offenders were supposedly prepared by security personnel to discredit their reputations in the media if they let slip with what was going on. Those few people in Congress and the media, I was told, who expressed an interest and asked too many questions were dealt with. I don't know exactly what's meant by that, but several people have, I'm told, have been dealt with terminally. A president, as well as a chairman of the Joint Chiefs, is alleged to have been abducted. As to who, I really haven't a clue. But there's a very rarely known report dating back to 1982, which I published for the first time here. And I've sort of thought about publishing it for a long time. And it relates to General William Westmoreland, who was a U.S. Army general who commanded military operations in the Vietnam War and later became U.S. Army Chief of Staff. There was a newspaper article which I got in the London Evening Standard, and it says, UFO kidnap puts U.S. Army in a flap. A report that America's Vietnam commander, General William Westmoreland, had been snatched by a flying saucer sparked off a full-scale emergency alert. The report was made by 49-year-old Mrs. Edith Mello. Security police immediately tried to track down the general. They failed. And troops at El Paso Army Base in Texas were put on full alert. We put out an all-points bulletin, said Army spokesman Ed Starnes, but 4 hours later we decided the woman's claim was just too much, so we called off the search. The Army later said that Westmoreland had been found, but they refused to say where or in what circumstances. So, you know, there's no way of proving that in any way, shape, or form, as far, you know, especially since it dates back such a way.
Okay, but we're dealing with something here, Tim, that obviously is going to be disbelief. And the big question I'd ask you before we even get into more details about alien hybrids and about this secret plan to take control, and that is, why would anyone allow you to talk about it? If this is something under deep top secret, we don't want to possibly panic the populace here, knowing that our alien visitors are hostile. How would you be allowed to tell about it?
Well, I have, and I've done it. In fact, in Unearthly Disclosure, which is several books back, I touched on it. But in my latest book, I've gone into a great deal more detail, especially specifically or in particularly about the way they are constructed, great details, medical details about them, which is absolutely fascinating. I can't say it's true. It's just what I've been told over a long period of time.
Do you have reason to believe that what you've been told is authentic by any verification? Have other things you've been told proven to be true?
Well, I haven't met any of these types of aliens, thank heavens, but...
I don't think you'd come back from the visit, would you?
Well, people do, but I think some of them do not have our best interests at heart. That is for sure.
Well, this goes into the theory, then, that's also voiced by people like Dr. David Jacobs, that a lot of the people who are being abducted, and he talks of numbers in the millions, are undergoing various physical tests for some kind of hybrid experiment.
Exactly.
Is that your feeling?
That's what I've been told. And I have a great deal of respect for Dr. Jacobs.
Where are these facilities that you referred to? Where are they located?
There are several of them, huge underground and undersea bases around our planet. I haven't been given any specific areas, although in my previous book, I think I mentioned that one of their bases was in the North Pacific to the west of Hawaii. There's a huge base there.
We're going to do our break now. Timothy Good joins Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Wishing you the brightest of Christmas seasons and best wishes for the new year from the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Is there a secret UFO agenda? Do strange creatures from the darkest corners of the mind roam the earth? Is there evidence for mind control, time travel, or devious government conspiracies? Find out the inside scoop on the latest conspiracies, paranormal activity, and floating phenomena when you subscribe to Tim Beckley's Conspiracy Journal. It's jam-packed with stories, special book and DVD promotions, and the best news, it's absolutely free, sent right to your mailbox. Plus, a bonus free email newsletter sent out every Friday. Simply send an email with your name and address to Mr. UFO at webtv.net. That's Mr. UFO at webtv.net. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Yesterday, I got a notice from the IRS. They say I owe them over $16,000. I don't have that kind of money, but the notice said if I don't pay it in 30 days, they're going to go into my bank account and take my money, put a lien on my house, and garnish my wages. Can they really do that?
If you owe back taxes, unless you get help, the IRS can do all that and more. Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Their Fresh Start program that will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS or state have in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. You get a fresh start if you owe at least $10,000 in back taxes. They're so sure they can help you that they'll give you a 20% discount just for calling right now. Dial 877-328-6404. That's 877-328-6404. Again, 877-328-6404.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda. Yeah, buying them another sweater, game, or other holiday gift they didn't need was nice. But this season, why not take the easy road, the safer road, and the smarter road? Get those you love something they do need. Give the gift of preparedness with Freeze Dry Guy gift cards. Since 1970, the veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy has been your trusted source for emergency preparedness with easy-to-make, delicious freeze-dried foods and dehydrated foods. These long-lasting foods are lifesavers, which come with added comfort, confidence, and convenience, perfect for any power outage, natural disaster, political crisis, or emergency at home, such as job loss or illness. Call Freeze Dry Guy now at 866-404-3663. 866-404-FOOD or log on to freezedryguy.com. You can't predict what's going to happen to your loved ones, but when it does, you can have them ready with gift cards from freezedryguy.com.
A little over a year ago, I began to do a lot of research into why, even though I had a pretty good-sized meal, that I was still starving. And my research led me to a well-known fact that most of the soils that we grow our crops on here in the United States and across the industrialized world are almost completely depleted of almost all of the key minerals and trace elements that our bodies need to rebuild themselves, fight off cancer, and be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company out there and discovered Youngevity. The Youngevity products are designed to give you the real nutrition you need, and once you've got that, you don't have to eat as much to be satisfied. I've lost 37 pounds in 2 months simply getting the vitamins and minerals I need. Check it out for yourself. It's incredible. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and order your first canister of Beyond Tangy Tangerine Complete Multivitamin Mineral Complex Dietary Supplement. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
So, is E.T. here in its various forms to take over, to create a hybrid race of humans over which they exert control? And if they are, have your sources given you a reason? Why pick humans? Aren't there other races in the universe?
There are other races in the universe, and the good news is that there are those who are genetically related to us and perhaps who were responsible for hybridizing us tens of thousands of years ago are in a situation where they have a vested interest in this planet, but for very different reasons from some of these so-called grey types, in that they think that Earth is unique. It's not obviously not unique in the universe, nor indeed in the galaxy. There are other Earth-like planets, but they have a vested interest in this planet because it has so much to offer. They are in a supposedly in a conflict situation with these so-called hybridizing guys. And that's been going on for quite a long time. In fact, one of the reasons I should mention that there's a very controversial chapter in my book called Amicizia, which is Italian for friendship, which deals with the infiltration of various types of aliens, many of them human-type aliens, a few of them very tall. In fact, there's a photograph of a 10-foot-tall alien, very sharp photograph, not in color, unfortunately. Publishers seldom can afford that these days, but there's a black-and-white photograph of a 10-foot-tall alien taken by a respected Catholic historian way back in 1976. These people had infiltrated quite a number of countries in the 1950s, and there was over a period of 40 years, at least one person I know, sadly he died 3 years ago, Professor Stefano Breccia, is a scientist, and he had communications on a regular level with these people and with others for about 30, 40 years. And he even took a ride in one of their craft together with a German friend, a pilot, and the aliens were, everything was being monitored in case of any accidents. But the craft are very difficult to crash. They're very easy to fly. And they have actually not just given us their technology, but they have given us their craft. And this has been going on not just in Italy, but in many countries throughout the world. We are flying. Our astronauts and our pilots have been flying some of these craft since the mid-1950s. And Gordon Cooper was one of those who actually offered to fly a flying saucer onto the outside of the United Nations in New York just to prove what was going on. Quite a number of the astronauts were involved and probably still are flying actual alien vehicles, which we have been given. Why have we been given them? Because there is a threat posed by these other hybridizing species, and there's therefore a conflict.
But wouldn't you think that advanced beings who have the power and the technology to give us this craft would be able to fight the bad aliens?
Well, they have. There have been conflict situations.
On this planet, in space? Where?
I would think both. I don't know for sure. Certainly on this planet.
Wow, this is all head-spinning stuff. I've heard similar theories before, but coming from a source that you trust, it's kind of hard to...
Yeah, but, well, that's from several different sources. So,
yeah.
I was very pleased to have that.
Well, I'm not sure. I always thought we were the aliens. we probably are.
We probably are.
So
we're certainly related to some of them, very closely related to some of them. So,
well, where are these supposed races coming from? Do we have any sort? Do you have any sense of what part of the neighborhood they're in?
They've given very rough sort of guides. You know, like in that particular neck of the galaxy, there are several planets which we occupy. Things like that. Nothing really specific.
Right. So what do you make of, let's say, Len Kasten and Project Serpo and stories that have come out within the last 10 years?
That I don't know. I'm a bit dubious about quite a few things I've read in Project Serpo, I must say.
I think most of it you should probably have a wheelbarrow load of salt. Because some of that is so over the top with descriptions of the alien planet and whatnot. Well, why have your sources? What's the rationale for them to put themselves at risk, possibly violate national security oaths and that sort of thing, by telling you, Tim Good? I mean,
well, as far as Professor Stefano Brecci is concerned, and many of the people with whom he worked, and this was a guy, you know, to be taken seriously. He lectured at the former Russian Academy of Sciences. He lectured at universities around the world. He was very knowledgeable as a scientist, and there were no agreements that he'd signed. The government wasn't in charge. Certainly, the Italian government wasn't, and it's probably quite different in the United States because a lot of people who are involved in this business do have very high security clearances relating to that subject.
Well,
for example, Project Aquarius, which I cited earlier.
Right. Well, what do you think of people like Colonel John Alexander coming out saying there's no such thing? This is all.
Yeah. I've read his book, and it's a joke, really, because, you know, he's worked at Los Alamos, and he has a very, very high top secret security clearances and so on and so forth. And he goes to great lengths to say that there's nothing to do with, there are no aliens coming here, there are no unidentified objects that, you know, that we can't explain and so on and so forth. But in fact, the most sensitive operations relating to this subject are based at Los Alamos. I can tell you that much. I can't tell you much more than that.
Wow. Still, to this day out there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I can't possibly. I haven't the faintest idea of what's going right at the moment. Unfortunately.
Yeah. That's.
I'm out of date. I'm out of date. My information is out of date.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if they move stuff like that around too a little bit to keep everybody on their heels. If again we're dealing with reality here. To me, it's always been very difficult for me to. Kind of buy into scenarios such as you're suggesting. I don't know. There's just so much of it that it doesn't quite ring true for me. You've been in this line of work and in these investigative corridors for decades now, Tim. And so obviously you're putting two and two together and coming up with some pretty interesting stuff. I personally, I'm just more of agnostic about it, and it's going to take a lot more.
It's good. One should always be objective. Agnostic.
Like, for instance, I heard for years that there was some sort of facility in the San Luis Valley, most often cited under Blanca Peak. And try as I might to get corroboration of many of these stories, some from law enforcement, others from just ranchers and everyday people, never could actually find the entrance or find the ventilation.
I can agree with you on that. For example, I think it was about 30 years ago, I went out with some guys to Dulce, and we hired a plane, and we took a lot of photographs all over the Dulce range and everything, and we talked to some of the native Indians. They weren't very talkative about it, but we never actually saw anything. We never came away with anything really concrete information about the, you know, the so-called Dulce alien. So I don't know how much of that story was exaggerated or whether it was basically true, but pulled apart later on.
Well, I've always had the assumption or the kind of inkling that Dulce is a cover for something even more nefarious than what is alleged to be there.
Well, exactly. That is quite possible.
I think that a deal might have been made with the Apache to bury some really noxious nuclear materials from Los Alamos.
Well, and sure.
And I think they've been waving a red herring with the right hand while the left hand's been degrading the environment really mm-hmm. badly there. But, yeah, I always thought that the whole Dulce base rumor started with the Paul Benowitz disinformation from Bill Moore and Richard
yes.
Doty.
Right.
What sort of advice do you give people who claim to be approached by supposed ex-military types or ex-intelligence people? Anthony Sanchez comes to mind with his Colonel X scenario.
Yeah, tread warily, and you need to get to know these people over a very long period.
We have to do our break now, but we'll explore this about the claims that at least some ET visitors are hostile, that they mean us harm. Sounds like the movie Independence Day. With Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
From our family to yours, have a very Merry Christmas. We are the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the Patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.